ready, we can start anytime.
Yeah,
if you're
let's
ready.
Go.
And they can just kind of get started whenever they're ready.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
What's that? Okay. Hallelujah.
All the live streams on?
Well, we're taping.
I got you.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Hey, Shabbat Shalom. Hey, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Hey, Shabbat Shalom. Hey, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom.
Bless the Messiah today. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu ederech Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in our great Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Do you want to do my turn?
Okay. Sure.
Tabernacles, Israel.
place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness. Answer me with the truth of your salvation. Hallelujah. Is Anthony on?
Anthony, can you test your mic? Okay. Vishamru.
Let's do the blessing of the Omer.
Oh, we're going to do the blessing of the Omer.
You need me to do it?
Do you have it, Anthony?
Yep.
Okay.
We're gonna
I'm going to say the blessing, but the count of the Omer, actually, I got this years ago from Rabbi Joe's synagogue back in Massachusetts.
Oh,
so
really?
I've
awesome.
Had all these years. It's a little tattered, but I've still got it, you know?
What is the name? Beth.
Bring a little home to him here. So,
Temple.
Here's the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim, Yumelech Haolam, Asher Kisanu B'mitzvotah, Vitzivanu, Al Sifi Roth HaOmer. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who is sanctified with your commandments and
commanded
us concerning
the
counting
of
the
Omer.
And today is the 28th day, and here is the count from Rabbi's former synagogue. Hayom Shimon Aver Besarim Yom Haloam Arbuah Shavuot La Omer. Today is the 28th day in the counting of the Omer, which is 28 days and 4 weeks in the counting of the Omer. 28 days.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Anthony.
I count the Omer by how many paninos I had in Florida.
And if anybody would like to continue counting, we're just on week four. There is I had some in the back there, some counting sheets, in case if everybody needs help counting to 49. But where we are in the calendar, that's kind of where it is.
Praise the Lord. Let's go to pray for Jerusalem.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem.
In our hearts and pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for some other things. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just bow our heads and we pray Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Kol Yisrael and all Israel. We wish Israel Yom Huledet Sameach, a happy 74th birthday, Anthony? 74th birthday. It's actually not really 74 birthdays. It's 74 since the rebirth, since the resurrection of the state of Israel. It's actually much older than that. But 74 years since 1948, since Israel became a state. I guess today is Independence Day. And it was interesting. It was on this day when David Ben-Gurion, I believe, was talking with Chaim Weizmann, and they saw the people were dancing in the streets after they declared statehood, and that everybody was dancing and celebrating. And I think, I'm not sure if it was Ben-Gurion or Weizmann who said, today they're dancing, tomorrow they'll be fighting. And that's exactly what happened. The war broke out the next day. But there's a time for peace and a time for war. And so they can be a day apart. It can be that fast. And that's how quickly life moves. All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Israel. And we thank you for the homeland of the Jewish people. I was reading last night in Ezekiel 37 and this morning about how you'll bring us up out of our tombs, and you'll raise up the dry bones, and it says you will put flesh on us and sinews and breathe life into us, and that you'll bring us back into the land of our fathers, Lord. You'll bring us back in the resurrection, Lord. All the Jews who perished in the diaspora, that you'll bring us back to the land, Lord. And there's many meanings to that scripture on many levels, but we just thank you, Lord, that you save your people Israel, and that you're going to save them. And I was reading how you're going to pour out on Zechariah 13 a spirit of grace and supplication, and they will see the one they've pierced, and they will mourn for him as a father mourns for an only son. And that day you will remove the heart of stone from your people Israel and give them a heart of flesh, and they will be saved. And somehow I believe you're going to make a place for the Messianic Jews in the mix somewhere. We're going to get in there. And I just believe it, Lord. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I've been preaching it, and I believe that we're going over there. And our sojourners with us, Lord. Thank you, Father. And so we just thank you for that day, that you remove the scales from the eyes. I thank you for all the indigenous messianic believers in Israel who are sharing the gospel with their Jewish brothers and sisters, family and friends, even to this day right now. And Lord, we just pray for the messianic movement. I thank you for the rabbis that I've been praying that rabbis would be fathers, and many have been praying with me as I've been going through my own personal trial. They call me and I call them, and they pray with me, and it's just been wonderful to have elders and older brothers just pray with me and spend time, and it's to see them be fathers. It's a new thing for me, something that I didn't see early on 20 years ago. I'm seeing it now. And I thank you, Lord, for them. I pray that you bless our elders. As I continue, always pray, Lord, remove the spirit of Shebna and give them the spirit of Eliakim. And if there be any with the spirit of Shebna, of pride, of selfishness, of power seekers and control seekers, remove them and bring in people who have the heart of the Father, and who are meek and gentle and loving of the rabbis, so that we can feed the flocks, Lord. I pray in the name of Yeshua that you save our people here in the among the nations, all of us, Lord, our families and our friends, our loved ones, our siblings, our brothers and sisters. I know I've asked for three. I'm now asking for five. Or asking for five people in my family to come to know you, Lord, that five others would come quickly, Lord, and be saved, and help me to share the gospel. Time is running out. Time is short. And it's time is something that I was watching a thing on Bill Gates the other day, and he said the one thing that I can't control in my life is time. And that's the one thing that's running out in his life, he was saying. And anyway, it was fascinating to listen to his documentary that they did on him. But that is the one thing that we have no control over, is the passage of time. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would save our families and send people to witness to them, save our children, save our grandchildren, and heal the ones that are fallen, the ones who are backslidden, bring them back, we pray, Lord. We pray for healing for the sick, for those who are sick among us, Lord. I pray for those who need surgeries. I remember a day when you go to a doctor and you couldn't get them not to treat you. Now you can't find a doctor willing to treat you. And I remember the days when you wanted to get away from them because all they wanted to do is treat you. And but I pray, Lord, for Aja and her shoulder and his healing and success in her physical therapy. And pray for William that he gets his knee surgery. And anyone else, thank you for those who are suffering from arthritis, that you touch them and heal their backs and hands and legs, and so many people suffering from arthritis in here, and yours truly as well, Lord. I just pray that that you would part the sea and show me whether to go back to Mayo or stay for the appointment that's on the same day here in Bristol that they made for me with the doctor here. Show me whether where to go, whether to stay here or go to Florida, Lord, in June. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. And now bless this service. And if there's any other needs that we didn't announce, we didn't address, we just lift those up to you. And we just pray for anything unspoken or spoken. If you have something you need, someone you want to pray for, just name them. Call their names out right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. When is the day?
The day.
If you don't have it, I'll look in my calendar.
Yeah.
I'll get to it later.
Okay.
You just play it. I sing it.
Melech Ozeru Mashiach Umagen.
Melech Ozeru Mashiach Umagen.
Baruch Ata Adonai, Baruch Ata Adonai, Magen Avraham.
Baruch Ata Adonai, Baruch Ata Adonai, Magen Avraham.
Mahuto Leolam Vaed
V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher nochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta bam v'shivtecha v'veitecha v'v'lechtecha v'derech Uvishach Bacha, Uvakumecha, Ukashartam, Liot Al Yadecha, Bahayulatota Fort Bene Necha, Ukhatavtam, Almazuzot Betecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul,
and with all your might.
And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Okay, we're going to have a tug of war between the left side and the right side.
I have a feeling the right side is really strong. Because we've got Joshua on there.
That's true. The right side is pretty strong over there. We asked Josh had a football game last night, and he scored. Did your team win?
It was a scrimmage, so there was...
There was no winner? But Josh got the only touchdown for his team.
Yay!
And I asked him, he said he tackled several guys, but he clocked one.
Cleaned their clock.
Cleaned his clock, that's what he said. He cleaned his clock. How did you clean his clock? Don't clean my clock. Okay, what's next?
Micha Mocha. Micha Mocha. Do you need a mocha?
When you go to Israel for a coffee shop, you say, Micha Mocha.
Micha Mocha, Be'ehi Adonai. Micha Mocha, Nedar B'Kodesh.
Malchucha, Malchuko Olamim, Umem Sheltecha b'chol dor v'dor. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imlok li'olam v'ed, Adonai Oz li'amo yitain, Adonai Barech et Amo v'ashalom.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord,
and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. And I like the words to Vayehi Ben So Aharon. I think it's powerful. So if we could sing that, even though we're not going to process today.
Vayehi Ben So Aharon, Vayomer Moshe. Who are not Adonai, be a futsu oivecha, V'yanusu misanecha mipanecha Ki mitzion tetze Torah Ki mitzion tetze Torah Udvar Adonai Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael Bihitushato.
When the ark would travel,
Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen. You want to process? Yeah, we have muscle in the house today. We have strong women. I like to say Tennessee and Southwest Virginia, where the women are strong and the men are pretty. I don't say it every quarter. Yeah, I have to be very selective. Who'd like to carry the Torah today? How about Josh Bell, my football winning son? Would you like to carry the Torah this morning, Josh? All right. Who'd like to help Josh? Tom, are you up for it? You want to help Josh?
Thank you.
Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Shout to the Lord with a voice of victory. Shout to the Lord with a voice of praise.
Shouts of joy and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands.
While you go out with joy.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace.
Mountains and the hills will break forth before you.
There'll be shouts. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. You go out with joy.
Gentlemen, you may be seated up there.
Well, wait just a second. We do the blessings.
Oh, blessings?
Yeah.
We're going to do the blessings.
Yes, the...
I'm letting the guys with the Torah sit down.
Okay.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai HaVorach,
Baruch Adonai HaVorach, Baruch Adonai Baruch Adonai HaVorach, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bakar banu mechol hamim v'natan lanu etor tov. Baruch atah Adonai noten haTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen. Diane, would you do me a favor and put the cameras on Anthony, please? Thank you.
Y'all can be seated. The camera don't blow up or anything. We'll pray.
Yeah, we hope the camera doesn't blow up. I mean, you know, I'm getting running out of cameras here.
They won't let me touch the where you can scan your groceries at Food City anymore, because every time I go in there and try to do it myself, gee. Something don't work right. Oh, well. Okay, today's Torah portion is Emor, and that means to speak. And that's throughout the Torah, speaking, Leviticus 21 through 24. You know, last week we talked about Kiddushim, the holiness. And today we see there are special rules and things that the priests are to abide by. And also in this is things that we are to abide by, that God is expecting of us. So the priests were not supposed to touch a dead body, and it pertained, but certain stances, it depended on how close the person was to them, I'm going to say like a father or mother, that they could do that. But also a priest could not marry someone who had been previously married. So apparently all the priests were men, so you couldn't marry someone who had been previously married. They were required to marry someone who had never been married before, basically a virgin. And also within the confines of that area, you know, you could not, if someone had a deformity, they could not serve in the tabernacle or later on in the priestly things that are there. They had to be, God expected everything to be perfect. Even the animals that were sacrificed were required to be without any blemishes or anything. So God is telling us today, God has given us certain guides, and he has given us the call to be holy. And a part of that is also the mitzvahs, but it's also the things, the moeds that God has established for us to observe or specific times when God says, I want you to come before me on this particular date. And God has given us the particular month and the particular time. And today is an appointed time. The Shabbat is an appointed time. The Shabbat was started long before that we ever came on the scene. It was part of the original creation. God wanted the Shabbat to be installed, and that was the day of rest. And that comes every week, so it's an appointed time. God expects you to be at his Shabbat and observe it, because he says, "When I will be there when you on these special occasions." It's just like going to the doctor. You set appointment, you go. The Shabbat is on a Saturday, so we're here today to honor that Shabbat. The next feast we see we just celebrated was Passover. That's in the month of Nisan. Also within Passover, we have the Hag Matzah and also the Bekurim, which we're doing now with the counting of the Omer. That goes for 49 days, and then we will follow the month of Sivan. And around the 6th of the month, we'll hit the 50th day, and we'll observe Shavuot, or in a lot of Christian circles, it is called Pentecost. And from Shavuot, the next month we come up is in the fall feast. And these are all around types of agriculture, harvesting. And so we have the first month of Tishrei, which is Yom Teruah, which is we sow the great shofar, and it also emphasizes the new year. The next meeting that we have with God, these are all appointed times, is Yom Kippur. That's coming. That's on the 10th day, 10 days later. And that was a day of solemn feast, but it's also a day of rejoicing, because on that day your sins were removed from you if God accepted the offering that was made of the blood that was before him on the altar that was brought to God. And then after that's 5 days is Sukkot, which is the Feast of Booths. And then that is a 7-day feast. And then on the 8th day, which is a special day, 8th day doesn't occur on the calendar. It's a day that God sets aside that's not on the calendar. It's a special day where God does something very unusual and very special. And on the 8th day, that is also a solemn assembly. And we see that is the Shemini Atzeret, which is the Simchat Torah, which is the re-rolling of the scroll that these men have here this morning. We roll it from the last book to the first book, back to Genesis chapter 1. You see, we find in the Torah, also in Exodus, we find that the Torah refines that God requires an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that tells us that sin equates to death. If you die in your sins, there's only one other option that you have, and that is the option of death. And there's two deaths. There's the death that you would die physically, and then there's an eternal death that if you're not born of been saved and accepted Yeshua and his blood has been applied to your heart, then you will go to eternal hell. And that will be, and like I've said before, the door to hell is locked on the inside. It's not on the outside, so nobody can come and get you. Once you get in there, Satan's going to have the key, and the door's not going to be open for you. So when you go, it's a place of no return. It's a place you can't repent and change your life, because you've already made your decision years before that's where you're going to spend your time. So we see today in the Torah, the wages of sin are death, and the judgment was what Yeshua paid for us, because we were the sinners, and his name in Hebrew, of course, means salvation. Yeshua means salvation. In Zephaniah chapter 3, we find that, "For I shall return my people to a clean lip, so that they all call on the name of God." Restoration, that was meaning the restoration of the Hebrew tongue would recur, and also the majesty of using God's name would also return, because the Hebrew alphabet gives us numbers, gematria, and also gives us pictograms that tells us what the letters mean and how they reference back to the scriptures. So we see Yeshua's name also meant something. We see in the book of Isaiah that it says a virgin will conceive and bear the Son of God. And then in the book of Matthew, an angel came and spoke to Miriam, and it says, "And his name shall be Yeshua." That's what his name was, and when they gave it to him. And his name in Hebrew is spelled with the Yod, Shin, Vav, and Ayin. And that is the meaning of what God's name or Yeshua's name means. The Vav, of course, the sixth letter, means a man, but it also means a nail. And so Yeshua was the Son of God. He was also, I guess you could say, a Son of Man, because the Son of Man came, and the Vav, the nail, was offering to his life for the sacrifice. That's what was used to attach him, to crucify him to the executioner's stake. In Psalms 22, we find that it says that they pierced my hands and my feet, meaning that Yeshua would save that fate. And Yeshua's name foretold of his destiny. He knew what his name was before he came, and he knew what his destiny would be, that his death would be on the executioner's stake outside the Temple Mount, that would be a place called Golgotha. And so we often wonder, why did God have such a cruel death for his son on the Calvary? And I think that's probably one of the things that it's just with the name, God had already ordained it, that that's what it would be. And we see in Genesis chapter 48, we see Jacob, he prayed and said, I have waited for Yeshua, my salvation. And then in Psalm 66, David prayed, he alone is my rock, and Yeshua shall not be moved because of Yeshua. Hebrews 10:4 tells us it's impossible with the blood of bulls and goats to remove sin. The blood of an animal would not remove your sins. That's why it was only a covering. It was something that was going, the real thing was going to happen years later, but for then it was just a covering. And the next day after Yom Kippur, if you committed a sin, then you were back in sin again. So you had to wait another year for your sins to be removed, and the priest would take the offering in. See, the sacrifice system only covered the sin that you committed as an atonement. It was just to cover it for that particular time. Yeshua came not to destroy or remove the Torah, but he came to save us from our sins and redeem us from the curse of death. That's what it was. And the Torah tells us a believer should walk in the faith of the Torah, walk in the faith of God, and the fact that Yeshua gave his life for us on a cruel cross. Romans 7, just to close this morning, it says the Torah is holy and it has the commandments that are holy, or the mitzvahs, and they are good regulations and righteous. Yeshua came not to save us from the law, but he came to keep us from breaking the law. From that, Matthew 5 says Yeshua came not to abolish the Torah or the prophets, but he suffered once the curse for our disobedience. That was our sins. And of course, his name means that. If you look up the letters of his name, it means an eye for an eye and a nail in the hand. So that's what Yeshua's name means in Hebrew. God had already ordained what the death that he would die, and it was written in the scriptures. And so mercy, just to close this morning, mercy answered at justice call. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Anthony. That was enlightening. Where did you learn that?
I'm sorry, what now?
Where did you learn that about his name?
Oh, from studying.
He's studious.
Vezot
HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei Bnei Israel Al-Piyonai Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Amen. Thank you, Joshua and Tom. For those who've never seen this done before, the Torah scrolls, this is what the Bible looked like in the time of the Messiah. The scrolls, you probably read how Paul said, "Bring me my scrolls." And so the scrolls were, many of you know this, but some don't, and they were written by scribes, and if a scribe made a mistake, and if he'd gotten through the fourth book of the Torah, or the fifth, into the fifth book, and he made one mistake, he had to start all over again. They didn't have whiteout, and even if they did, they wouldn't white it out. Had to be perfect. So it took usually about a year for a scribe to write a Torah scroll. They're very expensive. They're probably somewhere from 30,000 to 50,000 or more now, probably even more than that now, to get a new one, a new Torah scroll. And ours is a very old one. But they're still making them today, and they're still very expensive, and they still, if they make a mistake, they have to start all over. And it's a very... You have to have just incredible patience and a very steady hand, and you have to focus. And your phone can't ring, or you can't be looking at the markets, watching CNBC while you're writing it, you know. It just doesn't work that way.
Amen.
So anyway, but that's the nature of it. So we want people to see what the Bible looked like, and most people, the average person in those days, did not have a Torah, a Bible, because they were so expensive. Even in the days of the Messiah, the average person couldn't afford one. That's why James said, for Moses is preached in every synagogue. He said to the Gentiles, if you want to learn Moses, go to the synagogue. There's one in every city. Because the people didn't have them. Unless you were very rich, you didn't have a Torah scroll. People didn't have Bibles at home. So to learn and to hear the word of God, they had to go to the synagogue. There were no churches in those days. Excuse me. So that's where you heard the word of God preached, was in the synagogue. And the word of God of the New Testament, especially... the only canonized word of God, the epistles were starting to be written toward the end of the latter years of the New Testament, like in the 60s and 70s, but they weren't fully canonized as scripture until like I think the second century, and so the only scripture they had was the Old Testament, and that was the scripture that they relied upon. And what they used to witness with and tell about the Messiah, so it's interesting. You think back, what was life like in the time of the Messiah, and that gives us a little piece of it. So, all right, Dawn, do you have announcements, or what do we have?
It's Chaim Chi.
Oh, okay.
It's Chaim Chi, Amazik Iba.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her,
and all who uphold her are blessed.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to return to you, O Lord, and we shall return.
Renew our days as of old. Amen.
You may be seated.
You may be seated, yes. And one thought, Carol, did anybody check the router and reset the router? Okay, so the internet's working, but the website isn't working. I think we've been attacked.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll fix it next week. We'll get it fixed.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I get you.
Praise the Lord. As Rabbi was just discussing, those of you who are watching live, I think if somebody's watching, we can just acknowledge them. And let them, if you have any friends that are normally not
on Facebook, but are usually watching on the website. I don't know if anybody can, how we can communicate. So it'd be nice if we could communicate with people and let them know what's going on. Anyway, praise the Lord. Today is an awesome day. We are on the fourth week of Shavuot, and Rabbi and I had a wonderful trip. Well, I wouldn't say wonderful, but it was. God brought us to Florida, and we've been, as I say it, chipping away at the rock. And so we really appreciate your prayers. We're trying to get him to the point where the doctors will treat him for his back. They gave him a hip shot yesterday, which is easing a little bit of the pain. Hopefully it will give him some relief. But we're also looking for them to do something with his back. So the Mayo was able to do a lot of very detailed scans and tests, which I think will be helpful. But we need for that to be transformed into some sort of treatment, and God to touch his body, to touch him. Amen? Hallelujah. So thank you all for your prayers. And thank you also for the Passover Seder, those who worked and tirelessly. And we had just a beautiful time of Passover. And now we're in the season of Pentecost, and we're heading towards the harvest of the Lord. Amen? And so it's very exciting for that. And we've had some requests, and it's during the season that we normally do this. We've had some requests for entering into membership here. So want to put that out there. And so in the next week or so, I think we'll be doing that. And we've been praying about some different teaching classes that we might be offering, like during the afternoons on Saturday. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. We'll let you know exactly more details. And that's about all I have, except for Shavuot, the date. So we all know exactly when that is. April, May. It's on into June. Is this the right calendar? Yes, it is. Okay. Pentecost is June 5th. Okay. Sunday, June 5th. So we'll probably have something special on that day. Okay? So just pencil that day and know that God's appointed time, his next appointed time is June 5th. And we're going to celebrate his the establishment of the Gentiles coming in, and also the giving of the Torah was on Shavuot, but also the giving of the Holy Spirit was happened on Shavuot day in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. And so it's a wonderful day to celebrate and ask the Holy Spirit to move among us. Amen. And to do wondrous things. He's a wonder-working God. Amen. So let's expect wondrous things from him. You know, Moses walked in the Spirit, and he allowed God to move through him. And wonderful, awesome, miraculous works were accomplished as a sign to the world that he's God. And we walk in that same power, God's, that same access to the power of God. So this is a season for his wondrous works to be displayed among us and to be a sign to the world around us that he's real. Because if God is who he really is, then wouldn't he be able to do anything for us? Amen. If he really is God? Yes. So I believe that he can do miraculous things in your life and in my life and in our congregation. So let's believe for that. Amen? Yes. And maybe you have a special prayer. Maybe on that counting calendar, you might have something you're lifting up to the Lord during this season, as far as God's miraculous display in your life. And so let's see what He will do with us. Let's see if we can bring forth more of the life of Yeshua in us and press into Him more. And with that, I'm going to give it over to Rabbi, who's disappeared behind the curtain. And that's all. Rabbi. Oh, I did not welcome visitors, but I think we're all family today. We've had some visitors, but we're all family today. It's awesome to see everybody. Amen. What? Yes. Yes, David. It's great to have David with us. And, of course, Sherry and...
Nat.
Yeah. Hallelujah. They're family, but we're considering you guys family. And Diane, too, because she's been out on the street.
The street.
That didn't sound good.
That didn't come out
she's,
right.
She's delivering the mail. She's been delivering the mail in Damascus.
Diane's been out on the street.
But she had a Damascus Road experience, and now she's back in the house of the Lord.
It's a good thing we could get her off the street. Come to Ari Yehuda, where we get you off the street. Yeah. Shabbat Shalom, friends on Facebook. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is For Zion's Sake Ministries and Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation, Lion of Judah. We are the original For Zion's Sake Ministries of the United States. We were incorporated before all the, except no imitations. And although I'm sure there's some lovely people at other For Zion's Sake Ministries, but we were the first. And I'm not going to boast about the things we've done, though. But I do want to just make a couple comments. I want to talk about today's message is going to be, we're going to talk about the mystery of the wave offering. And we're going to talk about Shavuot and the real heart of God for Shavuot that, I'll get to that, so we'll talk about that. But right now, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings, and I just want to mention to the congregation and to those who are friends of the ministry, and our internet is down, so our live stream isn't working today, but we have a lot of folks that watch us on live stream, but our budget's down about $1,500 a week, give or take. $1,200 to $1,500 a week. I'd say average $1,300. So that's about $5,200 a month short. And that's been going on now for probably 8 to 10 months that we're, short $5,200 a month. And that's tough. On our budget, on our ministry, that's tough on everything. It means it limits what we can do. It limits just everything. I've taken a pay cut, it's hard to operate the synagogue. It's hard to pay. We can't always pay the bills. So this isn't a burden that I'm putting on any one person, but I am saying. I want to share a testimony with you that somebody asked me to share. And many years ago, some of you have heard this, some of you haven't heard this, but when I first started attending congregation, I would throw $20 in the plate. I didn't know anything about tithing. When I first started going to a church or a synagogue, Messianic synagogue, I would just throw... They'd pass the plate, and I'd throw $20 in the plate, and that was it.
I learned about tithing, and I began to tithe eventually and on my income. But then I became a businessman. When God sent me here, He put me back in business. I used to be a businessman, and I never thought I would be in the business world again, and God's full of surprises. And so He put me, gave me a restaurant, a bagel shop, and He gave me 15 apartments that I managed, operated. We owned 15 apartments, a complex with 15 units. And so we had some business interests here in order to help build our ministry. We were tent makers. And I always tithed on my income. Amen? It's easy to tithe on your income, right? You make $800 a week, you tithe $80 a week. You know, you make $1,000 a week, you tithe $100 a week. It's pretty simple, right? But when you run a business, you have to ask yourself, well, how do I tithe on my business? And so my bagel shop, when I took it over, wasn't doing very well. I bought it. It was somebody else was running it. I kind of feel good. I feel good in the sense that Elon Musk, when he didn't start Tesla, I found out, he took it over from a couple guys who had a vision, and they named it Tesla, and they didn't even have a product. He kind of took it over, moved in, got on the board, kicked out, got out one of the guys that was a lemon, got him off the board, developed a product. And now he's the capo de tutti capos of electric cars. He's the big chief when it comes to the electric car business. Not only that, he's the rocket king of NASA now with SpaceX. What was that big rocket they used to get the Apollo missions off? Those huge rockets. Anybody remember what they were called? The Apollo, the rocket, the big tall rocket was called the Apollo?
Yes.
Okay. Well, those Apollo rockets, he's got the new version, and his are the fuel things come back to Earth and they're reusable. I mean, he's Mr. He's an enigma because he's a conservative, but he does climate change. You know, he really is an enigma. He's an amazing guy. But anyway, the point is, he didn't start Tesla. He took a company that was broken and he built it. And I don't know about SpaceX. I don't know how he did that. I'm sure he did that on his own. But anyway, the point is, when I ran a bagel shop, I wasn't sure how to tithe because we didn't make any money. And so I thought, well, we're not making money, so therefore, since we're not making money, we have nothing to tithe. Well, we were making money. We were making $120,000 a year when I first took it over. We just weren't making any profit. But God doesn't say tithe on the profit. He says tithe on the increase. And if your increase is $120,000, tithe on the $120,000. Ah, that's the gross, not the net. Okay? And that was a challenge to me. And I didn't, so for about 3 or 4 years, I'd say, I didn't tithe on the proceeds because I wasn't making anything. Because I would pay the electric bill and the salaries. I would pay the food costs and the gas bill. I would pay the, all the different, the taxes and the insurance and all the different bills. And if I had 2 nickels left at the end of the month, then I gave it to the Lord, okay? And my business didn't grow. And so one night I went to a hotel hotel convention center. It was a Holiday Inn at the time at exit 7. And there was a man named Nasser Siddiqui who has come to town, and I was invited to come and hear him speak, and he was teaching on tithing, and he said that people should tithe on the gross income of their business. And when he was teaching about it, God showed me I saw a blackboard in the spirit. I saw a blackboard, had a vision of a blackboard, and it had a very large number And I really sensed that what God was saying is, this is how much you owe me in back tithes. And it was in the hundreds of thousands. It was over $100,000 after 4 years of business. And this is how much you owe me in back tithes. And so at the end of the message, that Mr. Siddiqui gave an invitation. He says, if you have not tithed properly, because I was tithing on my income, I just wasn't making anything in the bagel shop, but I had an income from the ministry and other streams of income. But I was, so he gave an altar call, and Don and I went forward, and the Lord really touched our hearts. I was weeping, and we were on our faces before the Lord, and I repented to the Lord for not having tithed on the gross income, on the increase of the business. And when I repented, I saw a hand come out with an eraser, and it erased all the numbers on the board. It was erased. And God, I felt the Lord spoke to me. I don't like to say the Lord spoke. I said, I believe the Lord spoke to me. And this is what I believe I heard him say. When you come into the store on Monday, the first thing I want you to do is write a check based on the sales of the previous week. Give me 10% of whatever you did, the business you did the week before, write a check and tithe it to For Zion's Sake Ministries. Do you know our business almost quadrupled in a year and a half? Our business went to $400,000 and in a year and a half. And for after I started tithing, and you know, we tithed about $35,000 a year to $40,000 a year for the next, as long as I was writing the checks, we were tithing between $35,000 and $40,000 a year. It wasn't there, folks. That money was not there when I wasn't tithing, but when I wrote the first check, it was there. And not only was it there, God increased the business, and it grew and it grew and it grew. It was amazing what God did, and I could tell you so many stories about how God used that bagel shop and the connections he gave me. Well, just the fact we had the deputy lieutenant governor come and speak to us a few months ago, that was a connection from the bagel shop. He was a customer of mine. That's how I knew him. And he wanted a recipe for some soup. That's how we reconnected. So anyway, what's my point? Well, God says in Malachi 3, he says, behold, he says in Malachi 3:7, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? He says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you, he says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord. Now, let me stop you there for a second. What is the house of the Lord? This is the house of the Lord. So any church or synagogue that God calls you to as your home, that is the house of the Lord. That's what he's talking about. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, so God says, bring the whole tithe. So many years ago, I sold a house. When I first came here in 2000, I came in 99, I owned a house in Boston, and I sold it, and I bought it for $100,000, and I sold it for $200,000. I had about a $100,000 profit after 5 years, and God put it on my heart to tithe roughly $10,000. And I didn't want to tithe $10,000. That was a big tithe. I had never written a check for $10,000. I don't remember writing one for $10,000. And it's hard to part with $10,000. And I was going to a little church. We didn't have a synagogue at the time. I was going to a little church in Abingdon, and I thought, that's too much money to put in the plate. So I'll send $2,500 to the ministry that I used to work for, Jews for Jesus, and I'll give $7,500 to the church, and I'll break it up that way. I think that seemed right to me. So that day, I came to church. It was a Sunday, and the pastor, Ed Bowers, many of you know Ed, he's on our board of directors, and him and his wife Kathy are very close friends of ours, and they're on our board of directors. We're still connected to them. And so Ed called me up to bless the offering. He had no idea what I put in the plate that day, and he called me up to pray over the offering. And so I picked up the plate, which was in the front of the room, and I said, Lord, bless this offering 100-fold, bless the givers and bless the gift, and bless these offerings 100-fold. And God said, Joe, I'm going to give you 100-fold. Now, don't you wish you had put 10,000 in that plate instead of 7,500?
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
That's what he said to me. Don't you wish you had put the whole tithe in that plate?
Yes.
And not just 3/4 of it. I'm going to give you, actually it was 700,000. So I'm going to give you 100-fold on a $7,000 tithe, but you're not going to get anything on the other that you gave because you didn't obey me. You did what you wanted to do, not what my word said to do. And I learned a lesson that day. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. I understand, and this is not directed at anybody here or specifically. I don't know anything about your tithes. I don't know what you make. I don't know how much you give. But I'm just telling you a lesson that I learned. Here's one other lesson I learned about tithing. Leviticus 27:31, I think it is, God says, you can use your tithe. If you want to go to Disney World, I don't know why you'd want to go there anymore after all that's going on, but if you want to go to SeaWorld, or if you want to go to, what's the amusement park, Six Flags, if you want to go to Six Flags with your family for the weekend and spend $1,000, $1,500 with your family at Six Flags, and you want to use your tithe to do it, God says, go ahead, use it. You just owe me 20% interest. That's what he says. And Leviticus 27:31, he says, you owe me 1/5. 1/5, that's 20%. So you can use your tithe for anything you want, he says, but you owe me 20% interest. All right? So some people may need to repent. I'm serious. You may need to, if you're struggling with finances and stuff, you may need to repent because you may not be tithing right. You may be giving to other ministries and things that that God's not asking you to give to. I'm not your judge. I don't know. Don't say Rabbi's getting on my case. It's not me. It's either God talking to you or the devil, because I don't know who makes what or anything. But I'll tell you, if you want to be blessed, I've learned this myself. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And God says he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain. And you say, Rabbi Joe, we're not under the law anymore. We don't have to tithe. Well, Abraham wasn't under the law either, and he tithed. Jacob tithed. And the tithe is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. It's all throughout the Bible. The tithe is there. And I honestly think the tithe is just a standard. It's a basic standard for people. 10% doesn't mean that's all you have to give. God, you can. It depends how much you want to be blessed. That's really what it is. You know, I'm not here. Some people tithe to this ministry, and I tell them I'm glad they tithe, but they don't come. And I say, I'd much rather have you come than just get your tithe. You know, I'm more interested, I appreciate your tithe, that you send your tithe to our ministry. But, and I understand, dear friends who are watching from far away, in New York City and Florida and California and other places, I understand you can't be here, Myrtle Beach, but I get that. I'm not talking to you. But if you live nearby and you could come, come, you know. That's my word for you. Come and bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Remember, Anthony said, God did away with the curse of the law, but he didn't do away with the blessing. So the blessings of the tithe still exist. The penalty for not tithing is not there. You just won't get the blessing. Do you see my point? So the penalty of, you're not cursed anymore if you don't tithe, but you also won't be blessed. So the blessings of the law still apply to us if we obey the law, the Torah. But if we don't obey the Torah, then we don't get the blessing. It's as simple as that. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the givers. We thank you for the gifts, and I pray, Lord, that you bless each person a hundredfold, Lord, as they give today, and help us, not just from the people in this room, but those who watch and consider this their home online, and watch our ministry, those on watch on live stream, which is down today for some reason. Our internet's down, but we welcome our friends on Facebook. And if you'd like to contribute, you can do so at our website, which is down, but you can do it some other time. Anyway, we love you all, and may God bless you as you give. In Yeshua's name, amen. And for those who don't know, the boxes are in the back. There's also a basket there that we take up a spare change offering for the needy, and there are more and more needy people out there every day. So if you have spare change or you'd like to put a few bucks in the basket next to the box for the needy, we help people with electric bills and rent. We help people with almost every week we help somebody with rent or with a bill of some sort. They come to us, and so please contribute to the alms for the poor. God bless you as you give. I love you, and so but God loves you more. Thank you.
Amen. With power, be there at the appointed time. I will bless you, pour out on you new life. Wait for the promise of God. Stay. Be clothed with power. Be there. that's what Yeshua told to the disciples. He said, wait in Jerusalem. Go and stay there and wait. Because I've got something good for you. Amen? If God's got something good for you, then don't leave. They started to pray. They started to gather. They started to fellowship. I think they were eating good food together. Don't you? What do you think? Probably had some of Carol's good lentil stew. And in between, they were praying. And they were worshiping. I think they were worshiping because that's what really gets us happy. Amen. I bet they were making a joyful noise. I bet they were exalting the Lord. I bet they were joyful that they had salvation. Hallelujah. And it wasn't long when the Spirit of the Lord came in like a mighty rushing wind. Hallelujah. Make a joyful noise, all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Clap your hands. Come into His presence singing.
He is our Maker and our King.
So enter His gates with thanksgiving.
Enter His courts with praise.
For the Lord is able to be faithful through all our generations. Situations to be faithful in all our generations.
Oh, know ye the Lord,
He is good. It is He who made us, no man could. He is the shepherd, we his sheep. I know the Lord watches over me. Situations to be faithful
in all our generations.
Hallelujah, let's stand up. Let's give Him praise. The Lord says, clap your hands, lift your hands to Him. Let's exalt Him. Oh, make the joyful noise,
all ye lands.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Exalt You,
O Lord, for You have lifted me up.
I call to You, Lord, for help,
and You heal me.
I will rejoice in the morning, at noon, and at night, for You have shown mercy to me.
I will exalt You.
Shown mercy to me.
the Spirit of the Lord is here to heal you. If you need healing, I want you to just come up here to the front. You don't have to do anything, but just kind of form a circle. If you need healing, anything, I don't care what it is, how little or small or big, and maybe dancers, if you want to go and help people, come up front. Maybe there's someone who needs help. Just raise your hand if you feel you need to be healed in some way, or you know someone who needs healing. There is power to heal you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just join hands if you're, I think, in Aja. I believe she wants to be up here. Hallelujah. Yes. All right, Deborah's going to anoint. Hallelujah. You are here. You are our healer. You are the God of healing. You have mercy on us, Lord. Hallelujah.
William
needs healing.
Somebody needs to anoint him. Maybe one of the men could grab some anointing oil and anoint William. And just don't be shy, or Diane's going over. She's bringing anointing oil.
Lechaim be'yeshua, hallelujah. Thank you.
staying desperate for you, God, staying humbled at your feet. I will lift these hands and pray, I will be. And I remind myself of all that you've done.
To go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai, and communion for our Christian friends. And if you're watching at home and you'd like to join us, just grab yourself some matzah or crackers and some fruit of the vine. If you have some Welch's or Manischewitz, Morgan David, or Carmel, or Food Club. whatever fruit of the vine suits your choice. Please prepare yourself to join us as I make my way over to the table of the Lord, and we're going to have communion. So I will ask Diane, would you like to serve today? You haven't served in a long, long time. Okay. Diane, and let's see, who else hasn't had a chance to serve? How about Sharon, would you like to come up and serve? You up for it? No, not today? Okay. All right. Deborah, would you like to serve today with Diane? Praise the Lord. I just need to bless it. Okay. So on the night he was betrayed was a Passover, and Yeshua, Jesus, he took the, it was Passover night, and Luke 22 tells us it was Passover. It wasn't the night before, it wasn't the day after, it was Passover. And he sent his disciples to an upper room, and interestingly, the name of an upper room is called an Aliyah. So the theme of Passover has to do with Exodus, and the word for return from the nations back to Israel is Aliyah, is to return to Israel. Aliyah has several meanings. It means is when you're called to serve, like the ladies are called to serve the communion. That's an Aliyah. That's an honor when you're called to serve at the altar, just as Tom and Josh were called to carry the Torah, or Anthony was called to teach today. That's an Aliyah when you're called up to the Bima, which is the Hebrew word for the altar. Another word for Aliyah is the Psalms of Ascent. So if you're reading the Psalms of Ascent that King David wrote, I was glad when they said to me, come to the house of the Lord, standing here in your gates again, up to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem. That's one of the Psalms of Ascent. That's Psalms of Aliyah. Going up to Jerusalem is Aliyah. And then the word for upper room is also Aliyah. So they chose, Yeshua chose an Aliyah, an upper room. And there was no accident that he chose that, because the word has to do with Exodus, with return, with leaving the nations like Egypt and going back to the land. So that theme of Passover, the string, that cord of red, that red thread of all, went all the way from Moses' Passover all the way through to the Lord's, the Last Supper, even to Passover today. It's still the theme of all the feasts is Aliyah. Aliyah is sacred to God. It is one of the holiest things in the Scripture. If you can grasp it and get your head around it, it is a very sacred thing to God. So anyhow, Yeshua was having Passover with his disciples, and he took the third cup, the cup of redemption, which we Jews take, every Jew, traditional, just like I was teaching on the writing the scroll, the Torah, that it's done the same way, and if you make a mistake, you got to redo it. Jews are we don't change things. That's that we're famous for that. We just do the same thing. And that's good in some ways and bad in other ways, but in a lot of ways it's good, because we preserve the oracles of God for the nations. We preserve the Scriptures for the Gentiles and for the world. If we had changed it, then now Jews are starting to change it, and they're writing translations of the Bible, and they're taking out Messianic Scriptures because they know that it's causing Jews to come to faith. So they're taking out verses like Isaiah 53, and they're twisting it. Some of the modern translations, and that's not good. So even Jewish people, particularly in the conservative and reformed Jewish movements, Orthodox Jews stay pretty much, they do the old things the traditional way. Anyway, so we want to bless the cup. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pri Hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Then Yeshua, along with the third cup, which is taken after the meal, is the afikomen, which is the middle of three pieces of bread, and the middle layer of three pieces of matzah, which is revealed at Passover. The other two pieces are hidden. They stay hidden all through the meal, but the middle layer is revealed, and she's in there somewhere. You can see her in there. And she's called the afikomen. Everybody say afikomen. And so the afikomen is taken with the third cup, and so it's traditionally broken into little pieces and given out with the third cup and taken together. But Yeshua said something that nobody had ever said. He said, after he blessed it, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. And after that, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Nobody had ever said that one before, speaking of the cup of redemption. And he said, take and eat this little piece of bread. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body given for you. And he was saying to his disciples, not that the bread is his physical body. He was saying, in allegoric terms, I'm going to die today, because that was Passover. It starts the night before, the day begins at night. And so on that, he was saying, I'm going to die for you today. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be 39 lashes will be given to me, a crown of thorns. I'll be punched and mocked and spit on and ridiculed, and I'll suffer. I'm going to suffer for you, and I'm going to carry your sins. I'm going to carry your sins and your disease, your sickness upon myself. I'm going to die, and then 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. And they didn't understand what he was saying until it actually happened. He'd been trying to tell them for years, but they didn't get it. Amen? But nobody had ever said these things at a Passover. Now, this isn't Passover, but we do this in remembrance of what he did for us. So Passover was a few weeks ago. We're actually in between Passover and Shavuot, and I'm going to talk about the connection between the two holidays today in our message, which is coming up right after this. But anyway, we invite all believers in Yeshua to join us today. And if you don't know Yeshua and you'd like to meet him, the Bible says if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, then we shall be saved. A lot of people don't believe in sinner's prayers, but a sinner's prayer is a good way to get someone to confess with their mouth that Yeshua, Jesus, is Lord. And so if you pray and you say, pray with me, if you'd like to meet him today, just pray this prayer. Dear God,
thank you for sending your son to die
in my place.
To take my sin and my sickness.
To take my shame.
And to give me hope.
And the promise. Of eternal life.
And paradise.
With you.
With friends.
And the riches of glory.
And the hope of heaven.
Come into my heart, Lord.
Wash me
in the blood of the Lamb.
The Passover Lamb.
And the water
of the Holy Spirit.
Right now. Forgive me, God. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, then we believe you've been born again or converted, however you want to call it, according to your tradition. But if you met the Lord today, please contact me, message me on Facebook, or folks at home, when if you get a chance to watch this, our live stream's down. But if you met the Lord, contact me. I have a gift for you. If you met the Lord for the first time today, God bless you and welcome to the kingdom of God. We invite you to join us. All believers are welcome to partake. And so I'm going to turn it over to the ladies, and they're going to serve. Come as you're ready. And I always encourage people to repent if you have sinned, to confess. This is a good time to confess sin before God as you come to the table of the Lord.
Oh, do, oh, do, oh, do, I don't know.
Okay. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen.
Chair when you get a chance.
Shalom, friends on Facebook. We're glad you're with us today. We don't usually broadcast the whole service, but today's a special day because we are. I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is For Zion's Sake. Please be seated, everybody. And it's great to have everybody in the house. It's great to run out of grape juice. That's always a blessing. You know, that's a good thing to have to run out and have to go back and get more. Amen. You know, the world believes in shortage, and they believe in lack, and that, you know, if we don't conserve, that there won't be enough food, that there won't be enough rain, that there won't be enough. And it's not climate change, it's sin. In the days of Elijah, God had Elijah stop the rain for 3 years because of the sin, the idolatry of the people, King Ahab and his kingdom, his wicked kingdom. Because of the sin of the people, they had famine in the land for 3 years and terrible drought and famine. Many people died, and many people became believers and were saved, like the widow of Zarephath, and the children of Israel turned back to God because Elijah went up on Mount Carmel and slew the prophets of Baal, and he called down fire on the mountain in those days, and he turned the hearts of the sons of Israel and the children of Israel back to God, and he restored, repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. So often God uses hardship in times of famine and drought and hardship to bring people to himself, because we don't tend to look to God unless we're suffering. And unless we're having hardship, we tend to it's human nature to forget God when things are good, when the bank account's full, and and times are good, it's easy to I'll just skip my Bible reading, or I'm not saying you do, I'm just saying people do, because that. Things are good, but when things get bad and tornadoes come and they blow through and destroy a town, you tend to see a lot more people in church the next Sunday, or that night for that matter, if there's still a church standing. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, today's message is the mystery of the wave offering, and I don't want to waver from the mystery. So if you turn with me, some of you know this message, but some of you may not, and it's a very important message. I made the comment 2 weeks ago when I was here, and for those who don't know where I was last week, I went to the Mayo Clinic. I'm having nerve issues in my back, which are very debilitating. And I have an appointment back at the Mayo Clinic in June, but I'm trying to get an appointment to be treated here. They have a certain treatment that they'll do if they choose to do it. It's just getting a doctor who's willing to do it. The Mayo Clinic says it should be done, but I still have to go to two different doctors. Either if I go to the Mayo Clinic, I still have to see a doctor who would do it. In other words, the guy that diagnosed it, it's like a commercial. There was a commercial a few years ago where these two guys were sitting in front of an executive, and they give him a plan, for his business. And he says, "I like it. Let's do it." And he says, they look at each other and they say, "Well, we don't actually do what we propose. We just propose it." And he was kind of, he could see the air go out of his balloon when they said that. "We don't actually do what we propose. We just propose it." And that's what these doctors did to me. They said, "Well, we propose that you get this treatment, but now you have to come back a month later and see another doctor, and maybe he'll treat you. Maybe he'll make you wait a week or two or three." And I just can't sit in another state 1,000 miles away. I can't just sit there for week after week waiting for a treatment that may or may not come. I don't know. It's too much up in the air. And that was the way my trip to Florida went. Was I just too much? I didn't know. Are you going to treat me? Are you going to help me? And so I have doctors here. I have friends who have been making appointments, trying to make appointments for me, and I got one. Been praying an awful lot with Carol and Carolyn and Dawn, but also I've been calling my rabbi friends, and they've been praying with me, especially my elders. I've been calling them, and they've been praying with me for God to open, to part the sea and find a doctor. And I got an appointment, and it's the same day I have an appointment at the Mayo Clinic. So I have to figure out now, which doctor do I go to, the one here or the one at the Mayo Clinic? And, boy, you got a shiner, honey. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're all right. I didn't notice it till just now. Looks good on you. I'm telling you, she's tough. Don't mess with Carolyn. But anyway, no, poor lady. She fell the other day. She banged her. She hurt herself, but... she can tell a good war story. She can say she, you know, was in line at Food City and somebody tried to take her place. Anyway, seriously. So I need to know, I need to find, my prayer request, if you're praying for me, is that God leads me to the right doctor, the one who will treat me and get me, because I think the cancer is doing well. For those of you who don't know, I've been fighting cancer for 11 or 12 years, on top of the back issues, which I've had for, I've had 19 good years out of 33. And the rest of those years, I've been partially crippled with back, with severe a back that's seized up from nerve pain and nerve issues. And so I'd like to get my life back. I have lots of things to do. I have work to do. It's hard for me to sit, as you can probably notice. It's hard for me to do it. I can't pick things up. I was late today because I need so much help to get here. It's and I know I'm not alone. And I look at my brother William there suffering, and I see Aja suffering, and I know there's others suffering. I have a friend Tom. He's in a wheelchair. He's been in a wheelchair for 15 years, and you know, he's had so many surgeries and ablations and nerve blocks and. I don't know how he does it, but he's not on pain medication, and his whole spine is a wreck from the top to bottom, and he's basically essentially paralyzed from the waist down, and he's in agony, and he doesn't take pain medication, and they've basically given up on all these treatments for him. He just, you know, he's 60 years old, and so, you know, when I see people like that, I know I'm thankful that I, you know, even though I'm going through a difficult time, I know there's people who have it worse, a lot worse than I do. But I also, I have work to do, and I believe they can help me, and that will help me get back to work. So let's turn, please, to Leviticus chapter 23. Today's message is the mystery of the wave offering. And you know, I made the comment 2 weeks ago that Shavuot, or as Christians call it, Pentecost, it's the same holiday, a Hebrew word. It's actually a feast of Moses. And I always ask the question around this time of year, what were all those Pergians, Pamphylians, Cretans, Cyrenians, people from Rome, and Pontus, and proselytes, and Jews, what were they all doing in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2 on the day of, in the Christian Bible, it says Pentecost. What were they doing there? They weren't there for Yeshua. They weren't there for Jesus. They were there to keep one of the eight festivals of Moses, or the feasts of the Lord. We call them, the Moedim. Everybody say Moedim. The Moedim. And that means those are the God's appointed times. Moedim means God's appointed times. And there's eight of them, and they're all listed in Leviticus 23. So let's look, and some of this is review for some of you, but for some of you it may be new. So please bear with me, but let's read. Let's start in verse 1 for a moment. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations, my appointed times are these." Okay, I'll stop there for a second. So these are the Lord's appointed times. Now, you're missing a whole lot. When you read, this book is a 3 to 4,000-year-old, it's a 3,400-year-old Middle Eastern document, book, translated into Greek first, Hebrew, it was written in Hebrew, translated into Greek in the Septuagint, then into Latin in the Vulgate, and I don't know what the Egyptians translated it into. Maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody translated into an Aramaic or something. But first it was Hebrew. Second, it was Greek, the Septuagint. Third, I believe it was Latin, and there are other languages. It's been translated into almost every language on the earth, on the planet right now. So you can get a Bible in virtually every language it's been translated into. So there's a lot when you read this 3,400-year-old Middle Eastern book. There's a lot you miss in the English, in the modern English translations. I don't care if it's the King James 1611, the original King James 1611. You're missing things in the English that you would get in the Hebrew if you understood the Hebrew. And so I'm going to give you a couple of those things right here. So speak to the sons of Israel, chapter 23 of Leviticus. Say to them, the Lord's appointed times, okay, which you shall proclaim. So I said, God's appointed times are Moedim, and they are his festivals. They are God's holy days. Everybody say God's holy days. And so we see here, this is October. This is a biblical calendar, and we have these from Israel, and you can get one. We still have some left. They're about $23. If you send in $23 to our ministry, we'll send you one of these beautiful art calendars from Israel. And you can you see this is the Feast of Passover here, going back to April. This is a 16-month calendar. And going back to April, so you see the pink is the Feast of Passover, or Unleavened Bread. And it has every day. Passover began on the 15th of April, and it ended on the last day was the 23rd. The 23rd was Saturday. The 23rd was the last day of Passover this year. Okay, so that's going to play into what I'm going to teach today. Because we're talking about the wave offering. But first I have to get some basic terminology out of the way before I can teach. So the word appointed time, another word, a more modern way of saying that is an appointment. An appointment. Now, I go to a lot of appointments. I have a lot of appointments. How many of you have a lot of appointments that you go to? Raise your hand if you have a lot of appointments. They can be business or medical or otherwise. Amen? Raise your hand if you go have appointments. Okay? Now, appointments are generally important because if you don't go to an appointment, you're going to miss something, right? Now, if some appointments vary in their importance, sometimes if it's a doctor's appointment, and you miss the appointment, you may not get one for another month or two, and you may be suffering, and you may not be able to get one for a month or two or three. So you don't want to miss those. That's an important appointment, right? If it's a medical appointment. if it's, for some kind of a seminar where, they're feeding you a steak dinner, and it's not that big a deal, and you miss the appointment, well, somebody else will eat your steak dinner. And you'll probably survive, without that information. You'll probably get along okay. But appointments vary. But when God makes an appointment with you, it's very, and you miss God. If you don't keep his appointment, you miss God, right? God has appointments. Now, the Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered, he is there also. And so that's true, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have appointments, right? I mean, you and I, we can meet together informally and have lunch or coffee informally and just bump into each other and say, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. That's not an appointment. We just bumped into each other. We went out and had coffee, right? But we can also set up a time and say, let's have dinner a week from Saturday or a week from Friday. Let's have dinner. Or you come to my house for Shabbat dinner. Bring your wife and your kids, next Friday or a week from Friday. Come to my house and we'll have Shabbat dinner. at my house. And that's an appointment, okay? So when these holidays, the word Moedim means festival, feast, but it also means appointments, God's appointed times. Appointed times to what? Well, to have holy convocations or sacred solemn assemblies. Your Bible might say solemn assembly or holy convocation. In Hebrew, the word holy well, first of all, let me ask you, what is a holy convocation? Someone, let's ask someone who doesn't know. I know some of you know, but someone who has an answer, I've never asked this. What is a holy convocation? Anybody? What's holy? Set apart for God. Holy, it has to be, is set apart. It is set apart, Tom, but set apart for God makes it holy. Amen. If I go to a car dealer and I say, I'll take that blue car, move it over in the other lot over there, hold it for me for 24 hours, I'll be back with a down payment. That's not a holy, it's setting apart, but it's not holy. It's just buying a car. But when God, when God makes a holy convocation, he's setting apart, we're setting it apart, and he's setting it apart for us. And the word in Hebrew for a holy convocation is a mikre kodesh. Would you all say that, a mikre kodesh? And that means not only a holy convocation, it means a holy rehearsal. The word mikre not only means mikre doesn't not only means convocation, it means rehearsal. So you're not only gathering together with the saints, you're rehearsing something. Why do we come to the house of the Lord on Shabbat? And it shows you right here, if you read the next verse in chapter 3, verse 3, Leviticus 23. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest. Complete rest. A holy convocation. In other words, gather together with God's people. A solemn assembly. Assemble together in the house of the Lord with God's people. Now, you can meet in a home. You can meet by the river, as was done in the Bible, but you must gather with God's people. So we gather here. This is where this congregation meets. This is our meeting place. This is where God set this is his tent of meeting. This is his tabernacle for this congregation. Amen. We're not the only one. It's just this is where God set this one. Okay, so for in 6 days, a complete rest, a holy convocation, you shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. So God's, that the first one is the Sabbath. That's the first of the eight feasts of the Lord. Okay, so these are God's appointments to meet with us. And when we miss... So the people have a misunderstanding. Not saying you. I'm saying a lot of people have a misunderstanding about the Sabbath. A lot of people, I've heard through the years, families don't go to a congregation. Father will sit with his wife and his 4 or 5 kids or his 8 kids or 12 kids, and he'll teach his kids, you know, and they'll sit at a table. And that's their solemn assembly. But the question is there a place they could go to be with other believers? You know, we have a young man who's been, he's not so young, he's about 50 now. He rides his bike from Johnson City, a good 20, 25 miles to get here. I've seen him walk. He's not here today, but for years he came. Before he started coming again recently, and he came for about 10 or 12 years, and every week he would ride his bike from Johnson City in the rain, in the snow, and sometimes if it got too icy, sometimes I drove by and I'd pick him up on the side of the road and put his bike in my car and bring him to synagogue if I saw him on his way. And, you know, so when I hear people say to me, it's too much for me to drive an hour, and I hear this an awful lot. And it's Rabbi, it's too far for me to drive an hour. I'm sorry, it's just too far. And when I see this guy ride his bike from Johnson City, he's even walked to service. He's walked from Johnson City, 20 miles, 25 miles, twice each way, back and forth in a day to come and worship the Lord. Please don't tell me an hour is too far. That's for everybody. Folks watching online, please don't tell me it's too far to drive an hour. If you can't afford the gas, we'll pay for your gas. Okay? I'll pay your gas. If you it's an excuse. When I see a guy who rides his bike or walks that distance, my Savior walked 80 miles to go to the temple to celebrate these feasts that we're talking about. He walked 80 miles each way several times a year to Jerusalem. He never once complained, I walked 80 miles to get here. You know, some people love to complain about, you know, things constantly. And you never hear the Savior complaining about the walk that he did. In fact, I wish he talked about it, because it might inspire more people to drive an hour and a half to get to the synagogue or the church, wherever God's called them to go. we used to have a couple that drove 4.5 hours. And I said, look, if it's too much for you to come every week, it's 4.5 hours each way. They lived up near Washington, D.C. I said, if it's too much for you to come every week, come once a month, twice a month, whatever you can do. But they came all the way from an hour away from Washington, D.C., and they came here. You know, I've seen it all. So, and then when I hear the 1 hour excuse or even 30 minutes, it doesn't fly with me, because I've seen what people do to get here. All right, let's move on. Okay, so we see that the word Moedim is God's appointment, but it's also his feast, the feast of the Lord. It's his festival. But if you miss it, you're missing an appointment with God. And it's nothing that grieves my heart. It grieves my heart when people miss. We had such a beautiful Passover. And this, again, I am not thinking of anybody. People have missed Passovers for years. But we had such a lovely Passover this year. Congregational Passover. Was it beautiful that night, guys? Who were there? Raise your hand if you had a... Not me, not because of me, because of God. If you thought it was a wonderful Passover. It was beautiful, you know. And the Lord showed up, you know, because it was his appointed time. No, we didn't do it on the night, because we don't follow the letter of the law. We did it during Passover. But we waited for Rebbetzin because she, you know, I understand. Some of you are traveling. I get it. I'm not your judge. Some of you are out of town, whatever. No problem, you know. But if you could be here and you didn't come, you missed out. You missed God that night, because it was a very special night, you know. So we had extra seats, and the food was wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Deborah made this lamb with garlic, and if you like garlic, I mean, I love garlic, whole cloves of garlic and rosemary. It was out of this world, this lamb. And Carol made a brisket that she and I bought at Sam's Club. It's the best brisket I've ever eaten in my life, and it was the first one she ever cooked. I'd like to see what the second one tastes like. Oh, my goodness. I had about 4 meals that week on leftover brisket and lamb. Incredible. But it was the presence of the Lord was the best part, you know. And Nat and Sherry, you were there at Passover, weren't you? Did you have a good time? Amen. It was a great night. So anyway, a moed is an appointment with God. The second thing, a mikre kodesh, is a holy convocation. Why do we gather on the Sabbath, and we gather together in the house of the Lord? Because God says to gather. It's not Joe. It's not my. I didn't make it up. I didn't. You know. I never wanted to be a rabbi. I'm an evangelist. You know that? My calling is an evangelist. So God asked me to be a rabbi, and I said, "Sure, Lord." He needed a guy to. When God will use you, if you're willing and available, he may use you to do something that you're not called to do. Okay? If you're there, hey, Nicholas, if you're there, God will use you oftentimes just because you're available. It's like Tom was here today, and, you know, he happened to be here for the Torah service, and I haven't had a chance to ask Tom to come up and carry the Torah, but he was available and he was there, and I said, "Tom, would you like to carry the Torah?" And he came up and carried it, or he watched Josh carry it, but which was probably better than, you know, probably better than let the young buck carry the Torah and get walk behind him. I would do that. But anyway, if you're not here, you miss the blessing. It's a blessing to carry the Torah. It's a blessing to serve the communion. It's a blessing to be called to do it. But if you're not here to do it, you can't do it. It's a blessing to teach the Torah. I am blessed to preach the word. I'm blessed to preach the gospel that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he died for your sins and mine, and that he bore our transgressions, and he carried our infirmities, and he was crucified and buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death, and taking the keys from Satan that Anthony mentioned, taking those keys to hell from Satan, and taking them back, so now he has the keys, and Satan no longer has the keys. He's locked. He goes only where God lets him go. Now, and we know the Bible tells us he's going to be thrown down to earth for a while. Then he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. Then he's going to be released after 1,000 years when he gets locked up. But right now he's wreaking havoc in the earth, I believe. But anyway, you know, I get to preach the gospel. What a blessing! And I've seen many, many people come to the Lord. And I had a guy call me, that guy in the wheelchair. We were talking, wishing each other a good Shabbat. The guy that was with me for 4 years, many years ago, he left in 2003. We stayed friends. And he said, you know, he says, "Rabbi Joe," he says, "you're the greatest evangelist I've ever met." Now, most of you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't say I'm the greatest evangelist you'd ever met, because you didn't even know that I've even done evangelism. You've never done evangelism with me. You've never seen me in action. But that's largely a past life where I evangelized and sometimes led as many as 100, 200 people in a night to the Lord. And I've traveled the whole world and led people in churches 6 days. For 2 years, I traveled the world. Most people they don't know. They've never seen me preach to 10,000 Kenyans in London, you know, or Nigerians. They've never seen it. Me give an altar call to 10,000 Nigerians in a church, you know. So anyway, and that's okay, you know. It's not about, you know, it's not about my boasting or whatever or what I've done. It's just, you know, the fact is we need to know each other. The only way we get to know each other is by spending time with each other and learning about each other and fellowshipping with each other. So that's why God brings us together. He brings us together in these holy convocations. And one of the things he says about Shabbat is in Isaiah 58, verse 13. I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Isaiah 58, 13. He says, "If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day," he says, if, he doesn't say you must do it, but if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the word in Hebrew is oneg, and call the Sabbath an oneg, a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, and desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, from speaking your own word, then you will take oneg, delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's why I encourage people to come to Oneg, because Jews, it's customary after service to go to Oneg, and we break bread and we eat together and we fellowship, and we don't work on the Sabbath day until sundown. That's keeping the Sabbath. And I remember I said the penalty of the Sabbath, of breaking the Sabbath, was death. You know, if you read Nehemiah, there was a penalty. The people were locked out of the city when they were carrying a load into the city on the Sabbath. Just as the Sabbath was beginning, they shut the gates on them, and they locked them out of the city. Well, the curse of the Sabbath, of death, is no longer, it's done away with. But the blessing is still there, friend. The blessing of keeping God's Sabbaths is still in place. But you've got to keep it. You've got to do it. You can't go halfway. You've got to do the whole Monty. You can't just do half a day of Sabbath. You've got to do the whole thing to get the blessing. It's like you can't bring half your tithe into the storehouse and expect God to open the windows of heaven. He says, bring the whole tithe. You know, that's what he says. A guy a week ago, when I was in Florida, a friend of Don said to me, he was talking about salvation, and we're talking about law and grace. And I said, grace is a law. And he said, what? He said, grace is a free gift. Well, I said, here in Romans 8:15, it says, the spirit of life in Christ, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has replaced the law of sin and death. Whoa. The law of the spirit of life in Christ has replaced the law of sin and death. Both laws. Gravity's a law, right? Gravity, you jump off a roof, you're going to hit the ground pretty hard, right? That's a law. So God, salvation is a law. If you obey the law of salvation, if you believe in the Son of God, if you do what's required and the law of grace, if you receive the grace of God, that's a law. And that's good that it's a law. Because if it wasn't a law, he could do away with it. But because God is a suzerain king, think of Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus. When he made the law with Haman, and he said Haman convinced him to kill the Jews on such a day, that the Jews could be killed on such and such a day. Oh, then he found out that his wife was Jewish. So he made a new law. He didn't do away with the old law, because a suzerain king can't, and God of Israel, that Middle Eastern kings are suzerain kings. What does that mean? It means that a king can't undo, when he makes a law, he can't undo it, but he can add to it. So what did God do? He made a law that the gospel, he made a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant my ancestors broke, he says. Well, how do the Gentiles get in? He made a new law. He says, whosoever would believe will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe. That's you. if you're not Jewish. You're the whosoever. So he added to the law. He didn't take away from it. He added more to the law, and he invited the Gentiles in. But he made a law, and you can't undo that law. That means that any Gentile who accepts Yeshua as the Messiah is going to be saved, and you can't take it back. So the law of salvation is a wonderful law. And the law of grace, it can't be undone. But if it wasn't a law, it could be undone. That may be a little hard to get your head around, but as a former law student, this is a law book. It's all law. New Testament, Old Testament, and you can check me out on that. And when I said that to the guy who was riding in my car, and I said, grace is a law, salvation is a law, he said to me, he put his earbuds in, he didn't want to hear it. He says, it's the free gift of God. I said, yeah, it is the free gift of God, but only to people who receive it according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Amen? Has replaced, you can check it out yourself, Romans 8:15. Salvation is a law. And it's a good law. It's an awesome law. Our God is an awesome God. All right, so let's go on. So let's move down to verse 15. Okay, so actually, let's start a little earlier, Passover. So these are the appointed times, verse 4, of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord for 7 days. You shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work, a Sabbath. But for 7 days, you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf, okay? He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. What's the day after the Sabbath? Sunday. So on this first Sunday of Passover, the priest would take a cake of unleavened bread. It says a sheaf. Now on the day when you wave the sheaf, verse 12, you shall offer a male lamb 1 year old without defect for a burnt offering to the Lord. Verse 13, its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering by fire to the Lord for a soothing aroma with its drink offering, and 1/4 of a hin of wine. So essentially, basically what God was saying was take a sheaf of barley, because the harvest at Passover was the barley harvest, and so they would make a cake, a piece of a loaf of barley, the first loaf. Everybody say the first loaf. So let's pretend this is the first loaf of barley bread at Passover. And on Sunday, the first day of the week, the morrow after the Sabbath, on Sunday morning, the high priest would take the loaf and he would wave it like this. They teach us that he would wave it in the sign of a cross. He'd go into the holy place, maybe not the Holy of Holies, but outside the Holy of Holies, in the holy place, and he would wave wave offering. And it was, now we at Passover, if you were with me, we talked about the meaning of the bread, that the bruises represent Yeshua's bruises, and that the holes, the piercing, represents he was pierced for our transgressions. Amen. We talked about that it's unleavened because unleavened is equated with sin. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, 7, and 8 says, for Messiah, our Passover is sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So if leaven is equated with sin, think of it this way. When we have sin, if we have greed, we get puffed up, like yeast puffs up bread, right? Yeah. If we have lust, then we get puffed up, and our heads get puffed up. If we're prideful, then we get puffed up with pride. Has anybody ever met someone who's puffed up with pride, has a big ego? How about someone who lords it over you? Have you ever met someone who likes to lord it over you, and they think they know all the answers, and you're just a dummy? Has anyone ever met somebody like that? Raise your hand if you've met someone who's a control freak. I have. I've met a lot of control freaks in my life. Amen. So unleavened. So this piece of bread, this wave offering at Passover on the morrow after the Sabbath, who does this represent? Yeshua. Yeshua is the first fruit at Passover. He's the wave offering. Okay, let's move on. So let's look at verse 15. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. So from the first Sabbath of Passover, on the day after, you shall count seven Sabbaths. Verse 15. So from Saturday, the day before you brought the wave offering, you shall count seven complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring in from your own dwelling places two loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of a fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. With a fine flour. Now, baked with leaven. Wait a second. Hold that place and turn to Leviticus. Turn to Leviticus 2:12, please. Hold your place in 23 and go back to 2:12. It says, as an offering of fruits, you must bring them to the Lord. But the better verse is 7:13. Leviticus 7:13. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, he shall present his offering with cakes of leavened bread. Okay, I'm not finding the verse, but there's a verse that says, you shall not bring no offering, grain offering, that you bring before the Lord shall be made with leaven. Somebody can find that. Maybe Don, you can look that up for me in Leviticus. It says that no grain offering is to be made with leaven. But except there's one exception right here in verse 17. You shall bring in from your dwelling place two loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of a fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. So there's another wave offering on Pentecost. Remember I said that Passover and Pentecost were related, they were connected? I said it 2 weeks ago. Well, here's the connection. You're to bring another wave offering 50 days from the Sabbath at Passover on the Sunday of Pentecost. Pentecost is on a Sunday, traditionally, right? It was that day was on the first day of the week, on the morrow after the... When did Christians celebrate Pentecost? What? What day of the week? Pentecost Sunday, right? You believe me? Okay. I want to make sure that y'all believe me that Pentecost Sunday is a Sunday, right? Traditionally. Amen? Okay. Now, the calendar may not have it on a Sunday because it may fall on a Tuesday on the calendar. But it's typically celebrated on a Sunday, the day after the Sabbath. All right. So, two loaves of leavened bread. I've got bagels because I'm a bagel guy. All right. Now, if this was Yeshua, the wave offering at Passover, this one's starting to get a little flimsy, might break. If this is Yeshua, now those of you who know this, don't answer it. Let's give somebody new a chance. Who is this? This is the wave offering on Pentecost. Let's read it. You shall bring in from your dwelling places, verse 17 of Leviticus 23, two loaves of for a wave offering made of two-tenths of an ephah. They shall be of a fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Along with the bread, you shall present lambs, seven lambs. We're not going to go into the lambs. We're going to talk just about the wave offering. If this was the wave offering at Passover represented Yeshua, and it was unleavened, pierced, striped, he was striped, by his stripes we are healed, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, he was sinless, he was without leaven. If this is Yeshua by representation, then who is this? Who? The Spirit? Okay. All right. Any other answers out there? Jew and Gentile? I think that's the answer. It's you and me. Leaven. What makes it us? We all have a little leaven in us, right? Leaven is equated with sin. And none of us is sinless. We're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? All have sinned. Yes, Don? Leviticus 2:11. So let me go back there for a second. This is important. Leviticus 2:11. Is that... I'll read it to you. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven or any honey as an offering by fire to the Lord. So the law, the Torah said, no grain offering was to be made with leaven, except God made an exception on one day, on Shavuot, Pentecost. And he said, bring two loaves of leavened bread baked with fine flour, and wave them before the Lord. So the high priest would wave them on Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Amen? There's the connection between Passover and Pentecost. Jew and Gentile. One in the Messiah. Nat, take a look at me. Jew and Gentile. One in the Messiah. That's what it's about. Is that the day of Pentecost was to bring us together. That was when Jew and Gentile came together for the first time for a major Holy Ghost worship service. Amen? That was, many call it the birth of the church. I think it was the birth of the church, and I'll tell you why. Because when Paul came out a few years later, when he went out after he got saved, and he went out and spent 3 years in the desert, then he went traveling to these different cities, he started finding groups of believers. Where did they come from? He found Lydia down by the river, right? Amen? Where did Lydia get... How did she find Jesus? You know? Because those people that got saved by Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost went back to their towns and their cities, and they preached the gospel. And they started, but they were undiscipled. So Paul, the Hebrew of Hebrews, who knew how to put Jesus and Judaism together better than anybody, right? Paul, the great rabbi, student of Gamaliel, one of the greatest rabbis in all of Jewish history, was able to put his Jesus and his Jewishness together, just like I do. He did it better than me, I'm sure. And Paul went out to these groups of undiscipled Gentiles, and he showed them how to do it. Jewish style. Amen? What's better than bagels if you're going to do it Jewish style, right? I have a theory in the story of Gideon. It says when Gideon went to he told him to go check out the Midianite camp at night, and he was scared because there was the Midianite tents were as far as the eye could see, and their camels, hundreds of thousands of camels and tents as far as the eye could see. And God said, and he said, I'm afraid. He wouldn't want to go. So God said, take Pua, your buddy, your assistant, take your right-hand guy, Pua. So Pua went with them, and they overheard two Midianite soldiers, and one said to them, he said, I had a dream. And he said, oh yeah, what was the dream? He says, a round loaf of bread rolled down the hill into the camp and knocked over a tent. And the other guy says, this could be nothing other than the sword of Gideon. God has given the camp into Gideon's hands. He sees a round loaf of bread. Wait a second. What kind of loaf of bread would roll down a hill? A bagel. That's just my theory. I mean, it's like a wheel, isn't it? Perfect for rolling down a hill. I mean, I could just roll this up the aisle if I wanted to. I've done it before in churches. You know, I've done bowling with bagels in churches, and you know, it's usually good for a few laughs. But I'm not going to do it today. But seriously, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. So at Passover, we have the harvest, we have the cross, and it's a very small harvest because it's the barley harvest. But then at Pentecost, we have the wheat harvest, which is a much bigger harvest. And that's when not only Jews but Gentiles started coming in, and large numbers of people, Gentiles, started coming into the body, into the family of God. Amen? On Pentecost. So it was always God's heart and intention. This, I said today, I was going to share the heart of God, not just the law of salvation, or the law of Pentecost, or the law of the holiday. The heart of God is love. Jew and Gentile, that we love one another, and that And God's more interested, he's most interested in our love, not our legalism. Amen? Even though this is a law book, it's not a legalistic book. It's neither the old or the new is legalistic. What it's meant to do is to teach us to be obedient to God, and that if we are obedient to what he says, we'll be blessed. The more obedient and Christ-like, that's what it means to be Christ-like. Was he perfectly obedient? Was he? He was perfectly obedient to the Father. Amen? And we're supposed to be in his image, right? We're being made more and more in his likeness every day, aren't we? We're being transformed to his likeness. That means we're being made more obedient. And if we're more obedient, now some people think, well, that means a spanking. No. In the Bible, that means if the more obedient we are to God, the more blessed we're going to be. Amen? The more we obey and surrender our lives to him and submit to him and obey his word and do what he asks us to do instead of... You know, it says in Joshua, there was no king in those days, or judges. It says there was no king in Israel in those days, and each man did that which seemed right in his own eyes. We're living in a time like that. We're living in a time right now when everybody's doing what seems right in their own eyes, and they just make it up as they go along because they don't read the book, they don't know what the book says. They don't understand the blessings, how to get the blessings that God promises. God just wants to bless you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to bless you and me. But we have to know, he gives us a recipe, not only to make bread, he tells us how to make the bread, what to put in it, gives us the ingredients. But besides the recipe, he gives us the recipe for blessing. Amen. So he says, you know, keep my feasts. Keep my feasts. So I met a Baptist lady a couple weeks ago, and I told her, we got to talking. I was singing Johnny Cash. I was at the dermatologist, and I was singing Johnny Cash underneath the TV, and everybody was watching the TV. And this lady, she liked my singing. I was singing Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. You know, across the mountains there, man. I've been everywhere. You know, and she's like, keep singing it. And she says, what do you do? She says, I'm a minister. And then I got to talking with her, and I said, well, I'm a rabbi for Jesus. I'm Jewish, but I'm a rabbi. And she says, where do you meet? And I said, here. And she says, when do you meet? I said, Saturday. She said, that's the real Sabbath. I said, yes, it is. I said, where do you go? She says, I go to a Baptist church. She says, we meet on Sunday, but I know, she says, that Saturday is the Sabbath of God. And so I said, well, why don't you come and visit us? You don't have to stop going on Sunday to visit us unless God tells you to. I never tell anybody to leave a church unless God, if God tells them to leave, that's one thing. But I don't tell them, you know, you have to leave. You must leave that church. I let God tell them, you know. He's pretty good at it. But anyway, so the way of offering at Pentecost is Jew and Gentile. A little bit of leaven, you know. We've got still a little bit of sin in us. But the point of it is that your righteousness, everybody say, my righteousness is not my own. It's his righteousness. That by the merits of Yeshua, say it, by the merits of Yeshua, I can stand before God. Because of what he did on the cross for me, I can stand before him. I can share his word. Whoops. I have all the blessings and riches he promises to those who obey him and believe in him. Not necessarily in that order. Amen? Amen. But you've got to, if you want the full blessings of God, you've got to do what his word says. And that's the key. So it's not about doing it to the letter of the law. And the curse, if you don't keep the Sabbath, can somebody pick up my tallit, please, and help me? It's not that we keep the letter of the law. Nobody can keep the letter of the law. We fail. My ancestors failed to keep the letter of the law. We keep the spirit of the law. You can just set it on there, honey. Thank you. We keep the spirit of the law. Amen? But the key thing is, you know, like God says, I was talking about the tithe. He says, bring the whole tithe into my house. Remember I told you the story where I brought two-thirds, three-quarters of the tithe? And God says, I'm going to bless you 100-fold because you asked me. But don't you wish you brought the whole tithe instead of three-quarters of the tithe? If I had obeyed and done what he said and brought the whole tithe in, you know, why do we gather in the house of the Lord on the Sabbath? Because he says to come to my house, gather together. Don't do it alone. He doesn't say sleep late. He doesn't say stay in bed till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's not what Sabbath is about. It's not about eating French toast and staying in bed till 1 o'clock. Amen? It's about fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it's about fellowshipping. And having oneg, you know, and oneg is a part of Shabbat. And I will continue to say this, that now I'm going to make a deal with you. I am struggling right now, and I ask that you would pray for me that I get treatment for my back, because I really think the cancer's doing well, and if I can get these ablations in my back, or I think the ablations will help more than the shots that they want to. They're talking about shots, blocks, nerve blocks. I think burning the nerve is what an ablation is, will help me. My back has been seizing up on me, and it's not only is it painful, it's hard to sit, it's hard to dress, it's hard to wash, it's hard to do everything, and it takes me 2 hours to get ready. What used to take me 30 minutes to get ready takes me 2 hours now, and I need help. I have a 2 foot long thing to put my shoes on. I have slip-on shoes. I got some fancy new shoes here. I didn't have any brown shoes, so I went out to Shoe Carnival, and I got these really cool slip-on brown shoes because I wanted some, I wanted some tan shoes to match my tan pants, because all I had is one pair of black shoes. So I got a second pair of shoes. Now I have 2 pairs of shoes, one tan and one black. Amen? Well, actually, I have 2 pair of black shoes. But point is, I have to use slip-on shoes because I can't tie my shoes. I can't even put my socks on. And I need help. And I can't pick things up anymore. 2 months ago, I could pick things up. Even 6 weeks ago, I could put my shoes and socks on. Things have been going downhill. So I need help. I really need treatment. And I believe that once I get this treatment, and I believe it's going to work, because I don't need surgery, they said. I that's good enough for me. I accept that. So just please pray that I get the treatment, because I'll be a much better rabbi to you if I can do more, if I can function better, and then I'll be able to do more, teach more, and just be better all around. Write books, be a better dad. You'll be able to, not that I don't say better dad, but at least a more fun dad, and a more fun husband. You know, it's nobody likes to be around somebody who's always struggling constantly. It's hard. It's hard on my wife. It's hard on my kids. You know, Josh would like to toss a football around with me, I'm sure, but I can't even do it. I can't even do that. So anyway, that's the connection between Passover. The wave offering at Passover represents Yeshua. It's one loaf of unleavened bread, of barley. And at the Pentecost, the Shavuot offering, wave offering, represents Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah. And in answer to what you said, Nat, yes, it's the Holy Spirit that brings us together. The Holy Spirit is invisible, can't see it, but it's what makes us able to come together. So you're not wrong, it's just you can't see it. This is me and this is you, and it's the Holy Spirit that makes us one, because before I came to Christ, and before, we couldn't have fellowship. You wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be here. But because of the Holy Spirit and what He's done in our lives, the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we are here. We're together. Amen. And that goes for all of us. So anyway, I think that's my message for today. So that's about the mystery of the wave offering. And they say that the rabbis teach that Shavuot, Pentecost, is the end of Passover. And you can kind of see why now. It hinges on the wave offering. It hinges on the wave offering. By the way, the day of the wave offering is called First Fruits. If you give me 2 more minutes, I'll explain First Fruits. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I think it's verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. What happened on that Sunday morning? Remember at the empty tomb on Sunday morning, Matthew 28:1, it was on the first day of the week, it says, early in the morning, Mary and Salome or whoever, they went running to the tomb on the first day of the week. And the tomb was empty? What happened that day? The resurrection, right? Now, it could have happened any time after sunset the night before, because that would have been the first day of the week. So any time after sundown, Saturday night, sometime in the middle of the night, might have happened at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, was the resurrection of the Lord. That was the day of first fruits. So if you go back, hold your place in 1 Corinthians 15 and go to Leviticus 23 again. So going back to the Passover, verse 9, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. The resurrection offering. The wave offering is the resurrection offering. Okay? Now, let's go 50 days later, 49 days later. Let's move up to Leviticus. Let me see here. 15, same chapter, chapter 23, verse 17. You shall bring in from your dwelling place two loaves. Oh, let's verse 16. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, Sunday. Then you shall present a new grain offering. Remember, the two loaves of leavened bread. You shall bring in from your dwelling places two loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of a fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Now, that's Sunday. Sunday, 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 Resurrection Day. Now go to 1 Corinthians 15, 20. But someone, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Messiah all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Messiah, the first fruits at Passover. On Sunday, after that, those who are Messiahs at his coming. Will his coming be on Pentecost? I don't know. Could be. Would make sense. Because if he's a resurrection of the wave offering represents his resurrection, then it would make sense that 49 days later represents our resurrection. Amen? Makes sense. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it makes sense. Amen? Amen. And so the first fruits, so Easter should be called first fruits. Yes. It should be called first fruits. It's the day of first fruits. It's actually a biblical holiday. It's a biblical holiday called first fruits. And but it's been lost to history. And most Christians call it Easter. Now, a lot of Christians know it's not Easter, so they get away, call it Resurrection Sunday. Yeah. But I make a suggestion. How about first fruits? Yeah. It's biblical. Yeah. And it makes sense, too, because if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 20, Paul says, but now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. And, you know, each is in his own order. Messiah, the first fruits, after that, those who are Messiahs, that's you and me, at his coming. Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. Yes. Praise God. So the wave offering is a resurrection offering. And with that, please stand up. I want to bless you. Thank you for listening. Isn't God's word cool? Yes. I think it's neat. All right. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. May God bless you abundantly. May you learn to walk in his blessings and his ways and the fullness of his blessings. He promises in Romans 11 to give you greater riches. And it's just up to us to learn what that means. But we're going to have Oneg now. We're going to, as Isaiah 58:13 tells us, we're going to have Oneg fellowship. That's the cherry on the sundae of Shabbat. Everybody's invited. I'm sure we have plenty of food. We always do. And so come join us for Oneg. Thank you for coming, and God bless you. Shabbat Shalom, friends on Facebook. We love you too. And sign up for our newsletter when our website's working, hopefully by Monday or Tuesday.